We've been doing a series called Not Ashamed, hashtag Not Ashamed, and it comes out of our key verse out of Romans 1. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If not, you can look to the screen. Romans 1 says, "For I am not ashamed," say with me, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." Say, that includes me. I believe. Now, we've been talking about this, and we started with the context that most people, when they read this, think about, and that's this area of witnessing, and that's a part of it, but there's so much more into the story of this verse, because the word salvation there in the Greek is soteria, which encompasses, includes all of the covenant that was purchased for you on the cross of Calvary. I like to think of it this way. When you go into Costco's or Sam's, on your way out, you push the cart, you're stopped by a person, and they want to see the receipt. Why? They want to verify what's on the receipt and what's in the cart. And the Word of God is that way. As the Holy Spirit reveals that Word to you, the promises of God, the reason He brings our attention to it is to remind us this is already available for us, purchased in the past by the blood of Jesus. This is what's available to you. See, the King James says, and again, everything I say, please challenge it with the Word of God, because it's not my words that makes a difference, it's the Word of God. And the Bible tells us that the promises of God to you and to every person that's a believer are yea and amen. That's a King James phrasing, yea and amen, which basically means that everything God's promised in His Word to you is approved, say approved, and so be it, say so be it, which means finalized, it's already done. It's not God, you're waiting for God to do it, it's already completed. It's completed at the cross. It's completed at the cross. It's completed. He has a way of keeping it fresh for you. You know, I shared with the earlier service that one of the things that I, for whatever reason, I enjoy leftovers. I'll buy something. I want to bring it home because I like the reheating of the leftovers almost more than I do the initial meal. But with the things of God, God keeps it fresh. There's no leftovers. It's already prepared. It's on the receipt purchased by the blood of Jesus. And salvation is just not, and praise God for, your forgiveness of sins, you're going to heaven and escaping hell and knowing your Heavenly Father. It includes every promise. Is healing in the Word is a promise? Is blessing, is peace, is joy, is strength, is victory? Oh, I don't know if victory. Well, look at 1 John chapter 5. It thinks, for everyone who's born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes your world, even your faith. Thanks be to God who always causes you to triumph. By two or three witnesses, let everything be established. So we keep going to the Word. We keep going to the Word because it's the seed, Matthew 13, of the Word, planted in a heart that produces the change, the fruit. Not you wishing, not you hoping, but you applying the kingdom principles of the Word of God. You don't look in the backyard and say, I wish I had a tomato garden, or I wish I had, and just sit there and you say, I'll just do a quick prayer and let's see if anything pops up. It could happen. No, you apply the principles of gardening in your space that you have a right to, and as you apply them correctly, you can harvest what you planted. When you seek first the kingdom of God, when you apply the kingdom principles, how the king does stuff, not the way you've done it, and you tack on a simple prayer with the name of Jesus at the end, well, God can do anything. Yeah, God can, but you know what He can't do? He can't override His Word. He watches over His Word to perform it, and He has created a system, the kingdom of God, how the king does stuff. And Jesus said, the Father knows you have need of all these things like the rest of the world, but seek first the kingdom of God. Do it the way the king wants it done and his right standing, and then all these things will be added. It's not wishful thinking. It's not pie in the sky. Let's just shout on Sunday and never see it on Monday. It has to materialize in a manner that can be seen by those who don't know him. Thank you for the two of you that know what I'm talking about. The rest of you, we'll let you warm up. You've been eating too much barbecue all weekend, and it's not even Monday yet. We have to see that God wants you to have victory because it's your covenant right, but He wants you to have victory on this side of eternity so that it can be a billboard, a display of His goodness to a dark world that you can be a light. Jesus said, you don't light a candle and hide it. You put it on the cabinet, put it on the desk, whatever you want to call it, that it may give light to everybody in the house. That means everybody in your world, in your influence, not to every person that's alive. But when you do it with those in the room, one day you can be like Jesus said, you are a city on a hill that cannot be denied. They cannot be ignored. Why? Because God wants to use what he's doing in you to flow through you to reach other people. You can wait till you get to heaven to have all that's in that covenant, and you can wait till you get to heaven to get healed and blessed and happy and full of joy and peace. Or you can be take the context of what Jesus said when he taught him how to pray in the New Testament. Said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That means if it's available to you in heaven and the completion of the covenant, then by faith, Hebrews 6, you can bring it into this context that we call our life on this dimension, our life on this side of eternity. And you can see the healing power of God available in heaven brought to you today. You can see the blessing of heaven brought into your life today. You can see and experience the joy of heaven brought into your world today. But Pastor, you don't know what I've been dealing with. It's so painful. It's so dark. Well, in the obscurity of darkness, God can say, light, and light comes in Jesus' name. For it's the entrance of his word that brings light. And no matter how hard to those who believe, Jesus said, all things are possible if you believe. The power is in the believing. The power is in the believing. It's not in the wishing. It's not in just a, I hope it. And some Christians, if we don't understand, we'll just assume we bring old policies and procedures from our last job into the new job. And we can't figure out why the boss don't like you. Because it's not you, it's you keep doing the old in the new. And in the old, it was okay, but in the new, it don't work that way. In the old way, you just took off when you want and just sent them a text, hey, I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. On the new job, you're going to get fired. Because they have a form for you want to get off. You have to fill out this form. You have to ask. You go through their protocol. The protocols change. The systems change by where you're at. We come from the kingdom of darkness when we're unsaved, and good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. But when you're saved, born again, you're brought into the family of God, into the kingdom of light. And God's way seems sometimes opposite than the world's way. And that's, of course, because it's different. In the world, you look at the situation and you measure how you look at your bank account and define if you're blessed. God's system says, I'm going to reveal that you're blessed, and that'll affect your bank account. Now stay in balance. You talk about money, and some people get nervous. Stay in balance. Stay. Look at your neighbor and say, stay in balance. We don't go to extremes around here. We don't teach it. God wants you poor, that's unscriptural. And we don't teach that you have to be a millionaire to be saved. If you can't be blessed where you're at today, you'll never be if you can't be a blessing where you're at, you'll never be a blessing at the next level. Did you hear me? There's a balance. Don't go to the extremes of any truth. Keep it in balance. God wants you blessed. God wants you healed. God wants you to have the joy of the Lord as your strength. God wants you to have the peace of God that exceeds your understanding. God wants you to know that even in the dark storms that you can stand strong because your life is built on the foundation, solid rock of his truth, his word. And after the storm is over, you're still standing. While the rest of the world crumbles and great is the fall of it, you will stand and rise and say, wait a minute, I can stand even when the devil tries to attack me because I have this thing called the shield of faith. But I don't stop because I'm trying to survive. We don't try to survive. We go to conquer. For the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent taketh by force. And for somebody, I'm speaking to your spirit that you become passive in your walk with God and let the word of God stir something on the inside of you, because you are not a victim. You are not a victim. You are not a victim. You're called to rise and be a king and a priest to your God on this side of eternity. As he is, so are you in this earth. It sounds crazy to the natural mind. As 2 Corinthians 2 says, the natural carnal thinking of humanity will not grasp or understand the things of God, because you have to not understand them. You have to believe them. And Romans 10 says, believing happens in the heart, not in the mind. It happens in the core of who you are, your spirit person. And it happens because the word of God is coming into your life. Romans 10, faith comes by hearing. Joshua 1, verse 6 through 8. And as you meditate in the word of God day and night, speak it, all of a sudden you're going to become strong and courageous. You're going to know what you need to do. But the challenge for some of us is we don't start on the journey to believe because we don't believe that God has it for us. We believe God will do it for some, but not for us. David said in Psalms 23, thou hast prepared a table. Have you seen that verse before? You have prepared, King James, prepared us You have prepared a table for me in the midst of my enemies. I'm glad he added in the midst of my enemies there, because some people would look at that and say, oh, he's got a table of provision for you when you get to heaven. But if it's in heaven, where's your enemies? Why are they there? He'll prepare a table of provision. He's prepared for you, has prepared, not going to prepare, has prepared. How do we understand that context in the New Testament? The preparation was paid for on the cross of Calvary. And what he did at the cross moves in the, if you think of a linear mindset, moves in all directions of time, past into the future. It is a covenant where he has purchased everything that's been promised by the word of God and has been backed by this covenant of salvation that includes your forgiveness, but it includes your blessing, it includes your healing, it includes the peace of God, it includes the presence of God. You don't have to walk around being tormented. No, you have confidence. You have boldness, for the righteous are bold as a lion. And every weapon formed against you, none of it will succeed. And every word spoken against you in judgment, you have a right to condemn. For this is your right, your heritage, your righteousness is of God, the Bible says. You're not a victim. Say, I'm not a victim. I want you to walk out of this place, and when the devil starts messing with you, first thing comes to your mind is, you mess with the wrong person today. For Jesus said, a strong man is secure in all his with all his goods until a stronger than him shows up. Did you hear me? And when a stronger than him shows up, he can bind the strong man and take his goods. And he was talking in the context of the enemy. John 10:10 later, in another place, he said, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. I think it's high time that the church rises up and takes back what the enemy stole and takes new ground that belongs to us. You're not, quit praying to survive. Quit praying to, I'm just trying to make it. Quit trying to survive. You pray in alignment with the promise of the word of God, and nowhere in the promise can you find where God says, I'll just help you survive. No, he's called you to flourish. He's called you to win. He's called you to succeed. He's called you to go brighter. Proverbs 4:18, the path of the righteous shines brighter. And when an accountant or checkbook or a spouse looks and says, man, this has been a rough year, stand your ground and decree boldly. No, I say this year will be better than last year in the name of Jesus. It's going to be better financially. It's going to be better in your marriage. It's going to be better in your friendships. It's going to be better in your health. When the doctor's report shows up, one thing, say, nope, the year's not over. The season's not over. The chapter's not over. This round is not over. This year will be better in Jesus' name. Fight, fight, fight the good fight of faith, the Bible says. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I've ran my race. It's not going to just back up. Oh, sometimes we think, oh, God, Lord, just take it, do it all. We wait for the truck to back up. Beep, beep, beep. And we have, folks, I've been in this boat too. Some things we've been taught hasn't been biblical. It sounded practical, but it wasn't biblical. Well, I guess God just didn't want you to have that. Because if he wanted you to have it, it would have worked out. Then you could say, well, I guess God didn't want them saved. Because if God wanted them saved, they would have been saved. Well, wait a minute. Let's go to the Bible. The Bible says that it's the plan of the Father that none should perish, but all come to eternal life. But God won't override people's will. Because the access to this journey is you believing. And what we have to believe is that it's already prepared. It's on the receipt. It belongs to you. David, again, Psalms 23, thou hast prepared a table. He has past tense prepared. That's what Jehovah, a name of God in the Old Testament, when God wanted to begin for his people to understand his nature and his character, he would do something and tie a name to it. And Jehovah Jireh, many of us, we used to sing that song. I'm not going to sing. Be glad, because I can't. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. But it means more than my provider. It means the God who saw you, your need before you knew there was a need. And backs up in time and makes provision for what you will future ever have a need of. So before, when you see a need, don't panic. Stop and say, Lord, you saw this need before I saw this need. And somewhere in the journey, in the past, before time, you made provision with Jesus on the cross. And so I know that the provision is already there. What am I telling you? At the table, there's a place for you. At the table of God, at the provision of the promises of God, at the table is a place for you. Say to your neighbor, there's a place for me at the table. That's something the Lord dropped in my heart this week for you. There's a place for you at the table. Don't let the world define you. Don't let your problems label you. Don't let the situation kind of distract you and say, it won't happen. Rise up in the identity of who you are and say, wait a minute, there is a place at God's table for me. Not only for your forgiveness and redemption, but in the context of salvation, every other promise of God, when you find the promise of God in his word and it becomes alive to you, begin to say, I believe it. But it looks hopeless. We'll look at Romans 4. Romans 4 that said Abraham, who against hope, which means that's King James, but it's also basically saying in a hopeless situation, and you can throw it on the screen if you want, against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of a multitude. He believed in a hopeless thing, but he believed with God. Why? Because the Bible says later that he was fully persuaded that the God who gave him the promise was well able. What does the Bible say? He watches over his word to perform it. What am I telling you? When God reveals his word to your heart, he's giving you the keys of authority. He's giving you the permission to have the rights to make a direction of your ship if you're willing to believe. If you're willing to believe. Mary, Martha, didn't I say if you believe, you'll see the glory of God? Yes, Lord, I believe. Then remove the stone. It wasn't the stone that kept Jesus out. It was their willingness to obey that was keeping them out. Jesus could have moved that stone by speaking a word. He could have removed that stone by he didn't need anybody to remove the stone when he was in it and he was resurrected. Why do you think he needed someone to remove the stone when Lazarus is in there? It was not because he needed the stone removed. He needed Mary and Martha's faith to obey the instruction of the revelation that would say, I'm giving you rights into my life. Revelation 3, I stand at the door and knock, Jesus said to the church. And if you hear my what? Voice. Not the knocking, the voice. There's a lot of people knocking in our world, and there's a lot of people trying to get your attention. There's a lot of people asking. There's a lot of people demanding. There's a lot of people yelling. Have you noticed that lately? A lot of weird people in the world. We love them, but there's some of them are weird. There's a lot. But if you can hear his voice of his word and what he's saying and open up, I'll come in. What is he saying? You give me permission. Your obedience gives him permission. But a lot of us don't want to believe because we don't believe that there's a place for us. Abraham believed so that he could become. And God will bring you to the place of becoming something. Are you listening to me? Don't wait for the outside to define you. Get the definition of who you are on the inside. Because you have to become something before you do something. In the world system, you do something that defines who you become. All right, let me break it down practically. You're single, you want to get married? Don't wait till you get married before you start figuring out how to communicate. And before you learn how to be a good spouse, you want, I'm believing for children. Have you read any, and it's not in a book. I understand each child's got their own DNA, their own stuff. But if you don't learn anything in parenting 101, how do you think you're going to learn it when you got that baby in your hands? Oh, I'll just figure it out as I go. Yeah, well, how's that work for some of us? Go outside and get me a switch. Come on, somebody, you. Oh, and I'm believing God's going to help me start a business. Have you read anything that teaches you how to manage the business world of payroll and bills and budgets and people and motivation and goal setting? Oh, no, I'll just wait till God gives it to me and then I'll step in that position. It don't work that way in the kingdom of God. God starts on the inside and you get the identity of who you are by the reflection, James says, the reflection, the mirror of the word. For a person who hears the word and doesn't do it is a person who sees their reflection goes away and forgets what type of person they were. You get your identity from the word, not your neighbor. You get your identity from the word, not your bank account. You get your identity from the word, not your level of living. You get your identity from the word, and when you get your identity and you obey, it changes around you. Well, if people would treat me nicer, then I'd be nice to them. It don't work that way. Well, I was nice to my spouse. I brought her flowers, and she still wasn't respectful, Pastor. Well, you've been mean for 20 years. One set of flowers only means you did something really bad, and she's thinking, what did he do now? It's not a one-time deal, but you become it by the reflection of the word. You obey it, and as you walk it out, you begin to understand. He empowers you. Abraham believed so that he could become. And he empowers you to the revelation that he's revealed to you. And Jesus said to the disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter spoke up, Simon at the time, and said, you're the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One. Simon, this didn't come from flesh and blood, which means you didn't hear this from somebody else talking. This is a heart revelation you received from the Father. Upon this rock, which is the revelation of his identity, who Christ is in your life, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He gives them the keys of the kingdom, that whatever you bind will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed on the earth, loosed in heaven. And it's basically not saying bind and loosen. You could say it this way: what you allow will be allowed. What you do not allow will not be tolerated. I'm empowering you with the word of God today to realize in your world, you're called not to embrace the problem and define the word, but to embrace the word to define your situation and bring God's kingdom in order into your world, because it just because it's there doesn't mean it has a right to be there. Just because you're feeling it today doesn't mean it has a right to stay. You can say, wait a minute, my world doesn't have to be this way. Again, Proverbs 4:18, your path shines brighter and brighter. And you can say, wait a minute, although I'm dealing with this, I know I have a battle to fight, and I'm going to win it. I'm going to win it in the name of Jesus. I'm going to win it by the word of God. Not wishful thinking, but getting into the word and letting it saturate your heart and your mind. I'm going to win it because I'm the seed of God. And because I'm the seed of God, I am designed to win, the Bible says, 1 John chapter 5. You're designed to win. I know you might have been called a loser by somebody. Someone maybe broke your heart, has devalued you, and you walk away. Life and sin has a way of doing that. But I'm telling you, embrace, you're the branch, embrace the vine. And the life of the vine's coming in and reminding you, you're not a loser. You're not a failure. You're not a quitter. You're not broken. You are complete, Colossians 2 says. You are complete in him. You are complete in him. Can I get an amen? Can I get a better amen than that? I'm telling you, you are the head and not the tail, above always, never to be beneath. Psalms 1, everything you put your hands to is designed to be successful. Doesn't mean it's a magic trick. Doesn't mean it's a quick button and the next day. It doesn't mean the truck's going to back up. But Hebrews 6, through faith and patience, there is a process that as you obey the word of God, the kingdom of God, and you follow the will of God in your life, as you obey it because you believe it, you're going to see it change. Where Abram became Abraham, who saw no children but became convinced from the word of God that he was a father. Some of us need to be convinced from the word of God that we are who we are. Not based on what we've seen or been called or been tolerated by other people, but based on the word of God into your heart. You say, but I'm feeling pain. But if you get the heart revelation that you are the healed of the Lord, you become healed by revelation first before you see the manifestation. It sounds crazy from one perspective. It's not mind over matter. It's the word over the situation. Mind over matter, people will just make up stuff and say it a bunch of times, okay? That's not confession. Confession is saying what God is saying over your life. God, I'm seeing this, but your word says this. I'm feeling this, but your word says, and you begin to continue to speak the word, and that becomes and develops your faith. Romans, faith comes by hearing. Why? Because you must see that at the table of God, there is a place just for you. If you can't come to that understanding, you know what happens? You'll just eliminate anything that God's bringing your way. Not for me. Not for me. Not for me. I'm not qualified. I'm telling you, you're not qualified by the salvation of God. It's a grace thing. By grace through faith, you're saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not an earning thing. You don't earn it. You enjoy it. If I took you to dinner and say, hey, my wife and I, we're going to buy you whatever you want. Lunch is on us. You would look at what you enjoyed on the left side of the menu and not the price that's on the right side of the menu. Have you noticed that? But if you're buying, what do? Oh, that looks good. Oh, no, not today. Right? Some of you, the waiter or waitress says, do you know what you want? You're like, yeah, I'm trying to decide. You're not really deciding if you want the steak or the chicken. You're trying to figure out how much it's going to cost. And you're waiting last, so you're calculating in your head. You know you are. What your kids and everybody's ordering. You're like, oh, that's a... Okay, add that. And oh, they had to get drinks. Oh my goodness. Do you know how much they're charging for soda? I need to drink water. And you're going through and you're figuring out taxes. You're calculating the cost. I'm telling you, in the kingdom of God, at the table of God, don't calculate the cost. He's paid for it. Enjoy it. And that doesn't mean you can do anything. There's this teaching out there in the church world that the grace of God means you can live anyway. Read Romans 6. And Paul says, do we use our freedom and the grace of God to live in sin? God forbid. I'm not saying you do anything. You got to do it God's way. You got to believe and obey. But when you do it, when you sin, it just takes you away from the table. But when you repent, you're coming back to the table. Wasn't that the prodigal son's perspective? It wasn't the feeding of the pigs. It was, my father has plenty, and his servants have plenty. Why am I staying here? I'm going to move back to the table of my father. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. They become aware of they're missing out of the goodness of the Father, and they begin to move closer. I'm telling you, if you're away, just repent and move closer, because there's still a place for you at God's table. Amen.